And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Wednesday, June 11th, and temperatures out there pretty mild. Hazy sunshine due to the smoke in the air, with temperatures in the 70s. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with, wait a minute, this isn't our Ag Director, Bridget Riedel. We've got a fill-in host.
I thought you would have dressed up for me, Dean.
This is dressing up.
I'm wearing a suit. I got my hair cut yesterday.
Hey, I'm wearing a collar today. You should be happy.
That's true. You are wearing a collar.
Just for that. But I forgot my suit coat. Sorry. So you want to explain to everybody who, you know, how we're graced with your presence today?
Bridget asked a whole bunch of people, and they all said no.
So you said, I'll fill in.
She didn't ask me. She just said, I'm going to need you.
Yeah. So when Bridget says, do something, you say, okay.
Her and Bonnie.
Her and Bonnie. See? You're smart.
Hey, I grew up in a single-parent household. My parents got divorced when I was, I don't know, sixth grade or something like that. So I grew up with two younger sisters and a mom, and so I'm used to being bossed around by women, and I'm married to a strong, independent woman, so.
See, Addison, take advice from this.
I'm taking notes already. Don't worry.
Please take notes. He knows what he's talking about.
When Bridget says jump, I jump.
Say how high.
Here I am.
All right. Well, we've got some decent weather heading our way here over the next 24 hours. But we need some rain, and there is some rain in the forecast. We're looking at pretty much decent weather the rest of the day. Hazy sunshine, smoke-filled skies in the upper levels. Highs today in the upper 70s, and we're looking at clouds increasing late tonight as we drop off into the low 50s. And tomorrow, look for those clouds to increase. We'll see a few scattered light showers late in the day with highs in the low 70s, and then a slight chance for showers Thursday night and Friday. Cooler and dry with highs only in the 60s. We do warm it up for the weekend. We'll have a little more on that towards the end of the show. And this weather is brought to you by Progressive Ag Risk Management Specialists. And we have been qualifying people for our big grocery giveaway. Explain what that is for anybody that's not familiar with
what's called the Great Grocery Giveaway.
The Great Grocery Giveaway.
Not the Big Grocery Giveaway.
Well, I was thinking of the Big Beautiful
Bill. Bigger
than
big. It's great.
Okay, it's great.
It's the Great Grocery Giveaway. Yeah, we're giving away $10,000 worth of groceries. That's groceries for a year.
See, when that memo was sent out, I figured there was an extra zero.
That was fake?
It was an extra zero put in there.
Well, we're going to have to let go a meteorologist to do it.
That's fine. That's okay. I'll take severance. $10,000. Man, that's I'd have to buy a deep freeze if I won that.
So go to our website, WDAYRadioNow.com. You can get signed up and then listen for your name to be called on WDAY Radio in the 7 o'clock hour, the 10 a.m. hour, the 1 o'clock hour, and then the 4 o'clock hour. If you hear your name, 9 minutes, 70 seconds, that's 10 minutes, 10 seconds, to call the studio and get yourself qualified. And then we have a big party at Kingpin's.
That'll be fun. July 10th, right?
I believe so, yeah.
It's July 10th. That's anybody that wins 10 grand in groceries. Now, can you get anything at the grocery store with that?
Well, yeah.
Okay. In the liquor department, too?
it's going to be a gift card.
Okay, all right. Addison, get some friends to register for that. We'll have a party out of this.
How big are the individual, like, per month again? What's the limit?
Well, it's like 833, something like that.
Per month.
To get to 10 grand, yeah.
So what is it, like 25 cents from one of those gumball machines for gumball? Can someone do the math on me for that? How many gumballs am I getting from one of those bad boys?
I don't know if you could use a gift card
Well, I could go to the service desk.
You could buy the stinking gumball machine for that, okay?
Well, that's no fun, though.
I didn't think about the liquor side of it.
I bet there's something in there that says can't.
Well, I mean, you go to the right grocery store, they've got liquor.
They do.
You know, like Costco's got a whole liquor section.
Oh, does
Hornbacher's too?
I believe they do. So is this gift card for any grocery store around the area, or?
I think it'll be Hornbacher's actually.
Okay.
And Allsager Meats.
We tried that for the first time this weekend. Oh,
Allsager?
Yeah, first time I've tried it. We got the ribeyes when my cousin was in town. Hands down, best. And I told Josh too. I said, this is the best ribeye I've ever had.
Nice.
Ever. My cousin said the same thing. And Christy said the same thing. She goes, this is the best ribeye I've ever had.
You weren't cooking, though.
I did cook it.
You did? Okay.
Medium rare on the grill. That's the only way to do it. Well, speaking of the Great Grocery Giveaway, It's time to qualify somebody for the final drawing. And today's qualifier is Emily Larson. Emily, you have 9 minutes and 70 seconds to call 701-293-9000. That's 701-293-9000. Today's qualifier is Emily Larson.
From Battle Lake.
From Battle Lake, yes.
So if you know an Emily Larson in Battle Lake, text her now. Tell her to call.
Let her know that she's got 9 minutes and what are we down to now, Addison? Are we still, 9:30?
9 minutes, 45 seconds.
All right. So Emily
clock is ticking.
Emily Larson, again, from Battle Lake. If you know Emily, let her know. She's got about 9 minutes to call to qualify for our great grocery giveaway. And, again, the final drawing on that will be over at Kingpin's on July 10th, which is coming up. I mean, quicker than we think. Summer's already flying by, although we haven't had much summer weather. You were asking me earlier, JT, about your father-in-law is you're trying to get him to bail hay.
Oh, to cut. Yeah, so over the weekend, he's out in Lake Park. He's got like a little hobby farm out in Lake Park. And on the way over there, I saw all sorts of guys this weekend cutting. A couple of them were already baling. And I saw some of his, he's got some alfalfa fields and some stuff. He's got some cattle. And I was like, well, when are you going to cut? And he's like, oh, no, not yet. And so I was asking at lunch, like, okay, are we going to get a dry stretch here so he can cut, let it dry out, and then bale it up? And you said he should have done it this week.
He should have done it last weekend. And we're getting all indications, very strong indications, and this goes right with the LRC. And speaking of the LRC, you'll want to make sure to tune in tomorrow. We will have Gary Lezak, founder of the LRC. He'll be on with us here from 1 to 2, and we'll be talking about the LRC, what the rest of the summer looks like for our area, when the stormy periods will be, when the dry part of the cycle will be. And we're just about ready to go into the wet part. This is cycle number 7 that we're just about ready to go in. And every cycle, dating all the way back to October, this cycle has produced severe weather. First, it was down in the southeast, then migrated to Texas, Oklahoma. Then it was further north. And as we go further in the season, that's where the severe weather is expected to migrate. So during this cycle, during this stormy part of the cycle from the middle of the month till the end of the month, we're expected to get quite a bit of rain. On average, about 1 to 2 inches across the entire area. That's just over the next 14 days, which pretty much puts us close to the end of the month. So that's why I was telling you, Matt, make sure, you know, he gets that done or should have had it done, because the next couple of weeks is going to be kind of wet.
So if I do it this weekend, am I going to find?
I do it. How long does it take?
I mean, it depends how wet it is.
I do it Saturday. This rain, he's in Battle Lake? No, that's
Lake Park area.
Lake Park, all right. I'd get it done Saturday if you can get it done in a day. But then it's...
So you got to cut it, let it sit there for a while, dry out.
Well, that should have been done last weekend. Let it dry out.
Cut it today?
Week. If you cut it today, you'll get... We still have light rain coming in up to a quarter inch. I don't know if that's going to... That's not going to help any.
I'll text him.
Okay. Tell him he should have listened to the LRC and done it last weekend.
Well, I saw everyone doing it last weekend, and I...
See, they were listening to the LRC.
They must have been.
Now, if that was your... Instead of your father-in-law, if that was your mother-in-law, I'm sure you would have been able to talk her into it.
Yeah, she would have listened.
See?
Absolutely.
There you go. Well, we're coming up on break. We've got a couple of guests today. Our first guest coming up is... Let's see here. We have Chris Hubush of Otterberry Farm in New York Mills. Have you ever been out there, JT?
I have.
Have you?
Yeah.
Okay. It's great.
They usually do the big corn maze.
Okay. Yeah,
in the
I saw.
Fall.
Yeah. So yep. And that's opening up in a week or so. So we'll talk with Chris. And again, today's qualifier, she hasn't called yet, Emily Larson. You have how many minutes to call yet, Addison?
See, 5 minutes, 35 seconds.
All right. If you know Emily Larson from Battle Lake, tell her, hey, she's got 5 minutes to call to qualify. So we'll catch up with the Ag Network here. When we come back, we'll be talking with Chris from Otterberry Farm. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. And again, Emily Larson, you've got 1 minute left to be qualified for the Great Grocery Giveaway. And just wanted to say technology is supported to help your farm or ranch run smoother, not cause you stress. TechSupport.Farm, they're there to help 24/7 online at TechSupport.Farm. And joining us this afternoon, we have Chris. Chris, I hope I'm pronouncing your last name right. Hubisch, is that correct?
It's no, but you're not the only one. It's Hipsch.
I wasn't even close.
Yeah, I know. You should Google it. That'd be a good homework assignment. Google what Hipsch means in German. It's fun.
Okay.
Not right now.
How do you spell that?
But it's Hipsch. H-U-E-B-S-C-H. It's like your hips, you know, like where your belt goes, and then shh, be quiet. Hipsch. But it's not phonetically correct if you do phonics, I think.
Okay. Well, Chris, thanks for joining us on Weather and Ag in Focus. And tell everybody what you do and where you're at.
Yeah. Well, I'm a farmer, and I guess my main thing is strawberries, a strawberry farmer. I'm over by the Perham, New York Mills, Minnesota area. We're just a couple miles off of Highway 10. So from Fargo, maybe an hour and 15 minutes, about 25, 30 minutes from Detroit Lakes area. And, yeah, we primarily have a strawberry farm. And then in the fall, we also do a corn maze and a pumpkin patch.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah.
And so, I'm on your website now. Now you guys aren't quite open yet, right? That's coming up here around the corner.
Correct. We are getting very close. This weather has been a little chaotic for strawberries and ripening, and they're extremely weather dependent. So I actually found two ripe strawberries yesterday in the field out of, I think, 7 acres. So
okay.
Not very many, but we're getting very close. We probably will have some you-picked strawberries available starting next week, and then probably about a week of that before we can open the you-pick out to customers to actually come out and pick their own strawberries if they want.
So you've got 7 acres of strawberries. How do you make 7 acres last for an entire summer, or are people coming and wiping you out in 1 week?
That's a fantastic question. So in Minnesota primarily, and in the upper Midwest here, most farms grow June-bearing strawberries. So we get one chance at strawberry picking. And it's, for us, our season is about 20 to 28 days. It just varies on the weather. But what happens is we plant multiple different varieties of these June-bearing strawberries. So my first variety, for instance, is called Wendy. And it is going to start ripening right now. And then I have probably 7 varieties at the farm. So like my later ones, Jewel, Cavendish, they aren't even close to being ready. I have some that are flowering right now. And when a strawberry flowers, it's about 28 days from the time that flower opens till you're able to pick a strawberry. So that's how we're able to stretch our season out. But then again, any kind of weird weather event, hail, torrential rain, tornado, that gross stuff you were talking about a few minutes ago, can really mess up your strawberry crop. But so we have a very short season. We don't have a lot of home gardeners have day neutral strawberries, so they continue to make flowers all summer and fall, and you're picking a little bit all season, all summer long. But most you pick strawberry farms are that June bearing strawberry, and so you get that short little window.
And Chris, you said strawberries are very weather dependent. So what is the I'm guessing you need a little warmer weather than we've had recently, correct?
Yeah, actually, strawberries like it to be in the 70s. That's probably ideal conditions. They don't like to be hot. And then if they're cold, they just don't ripen as fast. I'd rather have cooler weather than hot. 1 year, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I can't quite remember, but it was June and it was like 90 degrees every day. They start to ripen too fast and they can't grow very large. So then you have very tiny strawberries. Cooler weather gives them a chance to grow a little bit larger and then ripen. But they like 70 degrees and sun. So the other day when it was on Monday, was that? It was really overcast
50s.
And rainy and dreary.
Yeah.
They weren't doing anything. They weren't angry, but they weren't, you know, doing anything.
So the next couple of weeks, the middle of the month, towards the end of the month, we're getting into the stormy part of our cycle that we call the LRC cycle. And what that's going to do is bring us quite a bit of rain. We're looking at over the next 10 to 14 days, probably 1 to 2 inches of rain, and temperatures in the 80s, a few 90s mix. We're going to have 70s, 80s, and 90s. The 70s will be less common. 80s are going to be a little more prevalent. Will this help over the next 2 weeks? It's been a slow start so far because, I mean, we'll have sun mixed in, but we're going to see quite a bit of rain as well.
Yeah, so at our farm, we are in sugar sand, and so rain doesn't bother me too much because we don't have real heavy soil here. That's why the strawberries grow so well. They don't like to have their feet wet, I guess you could say. So an inch or two of rain for me, we won't even have puddles the next day. It drains right away. The problem for us is if it's raining, most people don't want to be out at the farm picking strawberries in the rain. But yeah, the weather, they don't want to be too hot. And if it's hot, like in the evening, above 70s at night, we get some of those crazy, like usually July, it tends to be more, you know, you'll get like 72 at night. It just doesn't cool down. They'll actually keep ripening all night long. They don't necessarily need that sunshine. The heat is a large component to that. So for me, ideally, I would like some nice sunshine, 70s, none of that crazy rain or wild weather that we can get in June, which I feel like typically around strawberry picking time is when the wild weather normally starts around here.
Right. And what all do you have out at the farm? For anybody that's never been out there, what all do you have to offer besides strawberry picking?
Yeah, so we do our strawberry picking, and then, of course, we have the you-picked strawberries. So if you're not able to or you don't have time, you can just purchase some, and they're already picked. We have farm animals out here that during strawberry season, the only thing we charge for is the strawberries. If you do you-pick, we charge by the pound. You can pick as much or as little as you want. So we have some folks that live really close by that like to come every couple days and just pick a small amount. And then we have people that drive from an insane amount. I had somebody come from Bismarck last year. Whoa. We have people that come from the border by Canada. There's not a lot of strawberry farms around anymore. And so people will drive out here just to come pick strawberries. But so we charge for the strawberries, but we're very family friendly. We have a playground. I'm a tractor collector, so I have normally, if I get time, I've got all my Moline set out so kids can see all the tractors and climb on them and photo opportunities. We've got lots of farm animals they can see and pet. I grew up on a dairy farm, and I think it's super important for people when they get to come out to a farm, you know, to talk to people in agriculture and then see different aspects. And we don't have a lot of livestock, but enough that kids can see them and grown-ups that, you know, maybe their grandparents don't farm anymore like they used to. So they get a chance to experience this stuff up close, you know.
And you said there's not many strawberry farms around if they're coming all the way from Bismarck and Canada. Mm-hmm. Are there any others in the area, or are you the...
There's a couple of us. Okay. So up in Park Rapids is Carter's. They're a wonderful farm. They've been growing strawberries for many years. So they're in Park Rapids. They're probably an hour north of us and to the east, I guess that is. Alexandria has Country Blossom Farm. They're a beautiful farm too. I've never personally been there, but I know and follow their stuff. And they've got strawberries. Other than that, I think there's maybe one up by Bemidji. We're pretty spread out. We're pretty far and few between. And then when you get towards the metro, like the cities, Minneapolis area, then you'll find some more down there. But
what would be the reason
there's not many
of us? Less and less strawberry farms? Is it difficult to do it?
Yeah, a little bit. So it's very labor intensive. It's a lot of handwork. They're a perennial. So my family also grows corn and kidney beans, and annual crops are like completely different. You know, you have a bad year, you plant next year, you start over, right? Strawberries are perennial. So like this last year, last fall was very hot, very dry, very windy. And then the winter was pretty harsh. We didn't have a lot of snow cover. And so a lot of people, even in their home gardens with their roses or trees they have, will tell you that a lot of their perennials didn't make it this year. So we did have some winter kill. And then strawberries are finicky. We had a cold snap, I think it was May 22nd to the 23rd, where we did have a freeze out here at the farm. And so we did lose some flowers. And once they only make that one set of flowers each summer. So if that flower doesn't turn into anything, you don't have a strawberry till next year off that plant. So, and like I said before, the weather is extremely important. So if you have one bad event, you know, it can take out your whole crop for the year and you don't have a strawberry crop. And, yeah, they're labor intensive. You're out there, we're hand weeding. I have an old Alice Chalmers G that I drive probably every 4 days out there to cultivate. But at a certain point, you still have to get out there and pull weeds. I've got a bunch of help coming tonight to go through the patch again and pull more weeds. And they're a little bit finicky. They're like the dairy cows of the plant world.
Hey, Chris,
they're not like beef cows, you know, they're just cute.
Right. Hey, Chris, for anybody that's interested in coming to visit Otterberry Farm, what's the best way to get a hold of you? Do you have a Facebook page they can log into, find out more information?
We do. We're all over the internet. Facebook is the place that we update the most and most frequently. Once we open for the season, I update our Facebook page almost multiple times per hour. So if you go to our Facebook page, it will always say the date and the time. That way you know you're looking at the most current post. And then also we have a phone line that you can call. It's our answering machine. Nobody ever answers it. You can listen to that anytime, middle of the night, whenever you want. And I update that also. So if we happen to close early, we get a really large crowd or something out here, and we have to close at 9:30 in the morning or earlier, we'll update that. And we try to give people a really good heads up that we're having a large crowd on a certain day so that you know, especially folks that drive from like Fargo or, you know, further away, that they have a rough idea of what's going on out at the farm, you know.
Great. Well, Chris, thanks for joining us. And did you get a chance, JT, to Google what?
I did.
And what does it mean?
You'll have to look it up.
Well, see, maybe I Googled something else. I found it. It said cute and pretty. Is that correct?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
There you go.
So we were on this is a random story. We were on a cruise ship once many years ago, and we met these people from Germany, and they didn't speak like any English. And when we introduced ourselves, the guy was like, oh, cute, pretty. And we were like, what? And my husband, that was always kind of a running joke with him and his family. And I was like, that really is true? Like, you know, wow, okay.
Oh, man.
So it's just funny.
That's great. Well, Chris, thanks again for joining us here on Weather and Ag in Focus. Have a great rest of your day.
Yeah, thanks. You too.
All right. And when we come back, we are going to have, we've got Dr. Julia Herman. She's waiting patiently in the wings. So if you have any questions for Julia coming up, again, give us a call, 701-293-9000. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. It's 1:39 in the afternoon. And our guest for the second half of the show here, Julia Herman, Dr. Julia Herman. Welcome to the show, Julia. How's your day going?
It's glorious. It's nice and sunny here in Colorado, so hopefully it's the same where you are.
Well, it's sunny, but we're dealing with that Canadian smoke here. You guys are lucky. You don't have
She's in Colorado. They got smoke, too.
Yeah, it's a different... Yeah, that's a different kind of smoke, yeah. JT. Different kind.
Yes.
Well, Julia, one of the things I wanted to hit on today... Bridget left us a couple of topics here that I know that you wanted to touch on, and one of them was the new world screw worm. And tell us a little bit about that. And this was, I think this was eradicated back in the 60s, if I'm not mistaken. So what happened and why is this a threat now?
Sure. So yeah, the new world screw worm is what we consider a foreign animal disease. So it's not found in the United States right now. And we're trying to keep it that way. And it's generally been restricted to Panama and south of Panama, so in South America. But within the last couple, like year and a half, that the fly has been migrating up through Central America, and now it is found in Mexico, which is concerning for us because that's very close to the U.S. Mm-hmm. And so right now there's a lot of discussion among our federal partners, USDA, Veterinary Services, trying to figure out how do we keep this fly out of the U.S.
And so how does this develop? The fly bites livestock and then the livestock gets infected. How does that all work?
So the neural screw worm is it's a parasitic worm. And so what it does is it will lay its eggs into a wound. And this wound could be an open wound. It could be something like the umbilical cord of a calf, or it could be even like a tick bite, something very small like that. And so that fly will lay its eggs in that. And what happens is those eggs, once they turn into larvae, the larvae actually dig into healthy tissue. And so we think about flies being attracted to dead tissue. These flies actually dig in the healthy tissue and they create a lot of damage while they're going through not only the hide, but the muscle. And so untreated, this is a really huge animal welfare issue and animal health issue. But it can also be a human health issue. These flies don't just focus on cattle, they focus on all warm-blooded animals. And so that's also why we're concerned about it getting into the U.S. We want to protect not only our cattle supply, but we want to protect all of our other livestock, horses, dogs and cats, humans. We want to protect them. So this is a big deal.
So what's preventing this fly? I mean, we can't build a wall or anything. I know that sounds silly, but what's preventing the fly from, you said it was spotted in Mexico. What's preventing it from coming into the U.S.?
So there's a lab in, or a facility in Panama that is, they are raising sterile male flies and releasing them in areas where, along the leading edge of where that fly is being found. So what these sterile male flies do is, well, they're sterile. So when they breed with that female who only breeds once, her eggs are not viable. And so it stops the regeneration of that fly. And so that has been the most successful way that we have kept this fly as far south as it is. The issue is we are at max capacity at that lab. And the fly is spreading enough that we need more lab space to create these male flies, or these sterile male flies. And so that's what USDA is right now discussing, not only with Mexico, but just within our own country, where if there is a possibility of building a facility like this, where should it be? But
if they've releasing these male sterile flies for a number of years, what is causing the increase in the spread of the fly?
The fly is being spread by a number of reasons. A lot of it is animal traffic. So if you take animals from an infected region and not knowing that they might be infected with that fly, and they get transported to another country, another county, another state, that seems to be what's causing this fly to, I guess, go beyond the boundaries where it was previously. So some of it is legal. So even in the U.S., we transport livestock all over the country. Same thing in other countries, but some of it is illegal. So animals go from one country to another, they should be they should be inspected by a veterinarian. They need to have paperwork going from one country to the next. When they don't, that's when we can have risks like this.
Do they know where the fly came from? Has it always existed in Panama, or is this just something that's relatively new?
It's been in like Panama and South America for a number of decades. And so I guess you could call it endemic there. But as it moves up into Central America and Mexico, that's where, because we haven't had it beforehand, it's been challenging to control. So we're working, we're waiting on guidance from USDA. They have all the information to help provide not only the producer communities, but also veterinary communities to figure out what we need to do to pay attention to if this fly gets into the U.S., but also what is that response going to be? So eagerly awaiting USDA's advice on this.
And Julia, is it a fact that the U.S. and Mexican border is closed now to livestock imports due to this?
Yeah, that's that. My understanding is that is one reason why the border, or why livestock and bison are no longer able, and horses are no longer able to come from Mexico to the U.S. We don't want to take that risk. And Mexico does have an inspection process for all of those livestock coming into the U.S., but with that fly spreading in areas that we don't know where it's spreading to, we didn't want to take that risk. So USDA made that call.
So we've already got a livestock shortage here, and that's causing beef prices to rise. Is this going to cause, do we get that much livestock coming in from Mexico? Is this going to cause further price increase to beef and whatnot?
We do get quite a few animals in from Mexico, a little over 1 million. I think it's 1 to 1.5 million animals coming in, mostly going into the feeding sector. So they go into feed yards and get fed out. That doesn't sound like a lot when our national supply of all cattle, including dairy, is 89 million. But that still is in the feeding sector. Like you said, we have not as many animals going into the feed yard, not as many animals going into the food supply. So it is, especially in our southern feeding states, it is putting a strain on them trying to find cattle.
Gotcha. Well, Julia, thank you so much for joining us today on Weather and Ag in Focus. Want to appreciate your time.
Thank you.
All right. When we come back, we are going to give away one of our productive alternative rain, heavy-duty rain gauges. We're going to have Wednesday weather trivia with Dean here, and I've got a doozy today.
That'll be fun. Are you thinking what I'm thinking, though, Dean?
What's that?
We should start a male sterile fly operation.
I like this.
You and I.
Yeah, but how? That's going to be expensive to build a facility, but we'll talk off air here.
Do you think they snip each individual fly?
Ouch.
How do they make them sterile?
I don't know. I'm not sure I want to know. We'll have our weather trivia. Don't go anywhere when we come back. All right, welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. We've got about 5 minutes left here, and it's time for Dean's weather trivia, Weather Wednesday trivia. So be the first caller with the correct answer, and you can win one of those heavy-duty productive alternative rain gauges. And I'm going to throw in something a little extra. I won't say what. It'll be a surprise if you win, but because there's two parts to today's weather trivia. So the question is, and again, phone number 701-293-9000. Out of all recorded history, I have never been able to cross the equator. And this is weather related. Out of all recorded history, I have never been able to cross the equator. What am I? And for the bonus, how come? What's the reason? 701-293-9000 for to win one of those productive alternative heavy duty rain gauges. During all recorded history, I have never been able to cross the equator. What am I? And why haven't I been able to? All right. We've got a caller here on line one. Caller, what's your name, please?
Ron.
Ron, welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus. Do you have an answer?
I do. Tornado.
No, but you're on the right track, Ron. Thank you for calling.
But how do you know?
How do I know? How do I know that this is correct, the answer?
Yeah.
Well, because. Yeah, it's called research. All right, the question again. I have never been able to cross, in all recorded history, I've never been able to cross the equator. What am I? And for the bonus prize, how come? All right, caller on line one, what's your name, please?
Blade.
I'm sorry, what's your name?
Blade.
Blade. All right, what's the answer for today's weather trivia?
I
hurricane or typhoon.
Correct. Okay, so you got the rain gauge. And for the bonus prize, how come? What's the reason behind that?
The prevailing winds. Coriolis effect.
There you go. Yes, it's a Coriolis. Really? Yeah, it's a Coriolis effect. So Coriolis effect, everything rotates counterclockwise in the northern hemisphere and clockwise in the southern hemisphere. So it, when these storms...
But wouldn't Ron be right with a tornado?
That's not what I was looking for. Because you rarely will get...
So it's up to you then.
You will rarely get tornadoes to develop on the intertropical... ITCZ, but you can get the hurricanes both north and south of there. But when they approach the equator, they get sheared apart due to the Coriolis effect. So they can never effectively cross the equator. All right, Blade. Hey, we're going to put you on hold.
Go ahead. It's not true that. Whirlpools spin the wrong way in the southern hemisphere.
Or toilets. We were just talking about that off air. That all depends on the jets. Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Yeah. You can stir a sink and make it sink either way.
Correct. So. Yep, that's right. That's right. All right, we're going to put you on hold. Our producer, Addison, is going to get your information. Just swing by the station, and we'll have your prizes available.
Thanks.
All right, thanks for listening. See, that only took two callers. That's not bad. And we were talking about that, JT and I were, was that, all right, does the toilet water rotate a different direction in the southern hemisphere? And
I thought maybe on the equator it just didn't rotate at all.
It just went straight down. Yeah. No, it all has to do with the jets inside of the bowl that push it and rotate it. But I like your thinking.
Thanks.
I like your thinking. Well, let's do a quick recap of the weather. We do have sunny skies. Well, it's hazy sunshine. We still have quite a bit of smoke in the air out there. Upper level smoke. It's worse to the west of the valley. We'll top out in the upper 70s across the valley into Lakes Country, and winds on the light side. Not a bad day today. Tomorrow, though, we'll see an increase in clouds, and we'll see some light rain overspread the area late in the day, and those showers will continue into Thursday night, and then cooler weather on tap for Friday. So for JT and myself, I want to thank everybody for joining us on Weather and Ag in Focus. Don't go anywhere. The Jay Thomas Show, it's coming up next.